This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. When the new school year starts at Harvard next week, an unusual sign will beckon students. It's across the street from the Catholic Student Center and not far from the Jewish Hillel House, and it reads, "If you call yourself an atheist, agnostic, spiritual, secular, or cynical, then you could probably call yourself a humanist." That sign marks the entrance to the first ever humanist student center in the country. It's the brainchild of Harvard's humanist chaplain, Greg Epstein. He's a graduate of Harvard's Divinity School. He's an ordained humanist rabbi. And he's the author of the recent bestseller, Good Without God, What a Billion Non-Believers Believe. He joins us now to talk about the new center and his efforts to promote humanism on campus and beyond. Listeners, would a humanist center for religious non-believers appeal to you? Do you wish there had been such a thing when you were in college? Is a humanist center on a college campus long overdue? Or do you think there's something immoral about creating a college center for religious non-believers? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And welcome to Radio Boston, Greg Epstein.
Thank you very much, Sasha. Glad to be here.
You have defined humanism in your book in a really, really broad brush way. You put in there atheists, agnostics, free thinkers, rationalists, skeptics, cynics, deists, spiritualists. Mm-hmm. Basically, anybody who considers himself non-religious, doesn't know if they believe, doesn't know if they're part of an organized religion. Is there some single sentence you use to define humanism?
Well, I define humanism as the title of the book. It's good without God. But the emphasis of humanism to me is not on the without God. It's not just on what we don't believe. And we all have something we don't believe in. Christians don't believe in traditional Islam. Muslims don't believe in traditional Christianity. But the emphasis of humanism is on the good. It's on being a good person, living a good life, building a good society for ourselves, for our loved ones, for all human beings, and for the sake of the entire natural world that surrounds us and sustains us.
This new humanist center at Harvard, I'm going to assume there are not going to be prayer services there.
No.
But what sort of activities will happen there?
Well, there will be all sorts of activities, and some are for Harvard students, and others are for anybody, you know, anybody who's listening would be welcome at many of our programs. We will have the kinds of public programs that we'll have, and the first thing that we'll do is we'll have a sort of an open house or a housewarming party 1 week from tonight. So that's Tuesday, September 7th. The address is 19 Arrow Street in Cambridge, and we'll open it up at 5:30, and we'll let people come in and ask us all kinds of questions. But, you know, beyond that, every weekend there will be a program. So on a biweekly basis, on Saturdays, we get together and we do meditation. We do yoga. We do what we call a humanist contemplative group, where we do practices that enable us to find a greater compassion, greater self-awareness, et cetera, without the religious aspects of those practices that you sometimes find. On Sundays every other week, we do what we're calling a humanist forum, where we basically bring people together for a community without the sermon, without the prayers, the part of the religious community that I think a lot of people really do find appealing, even if they're not religious. So it'll be a lot of socializing, but it'll also be a lot of talking about really important issues and getting together in small groups and having people get to know one another and talk with one another about the most important issues in their lives, whether it's ethics, whether it's family, whether it's tradition and culture, or just, you know, parenting or life changes.
So a lot of this, the socializing, the group gatherings, the yoga, the meditation, these are things that people could find individually elsewhere. Why did you feel there was a need for a humanist center?
Well, the idea for me is that there are these huge numbers of people, by the way, you know, a billion non-religious people around the world, 40 or 50 million Americans who are non-religious, one in every four or five young Americans, you know, and there are institutions in the religious world increasingly that try to cater to them, you know, that they say, let's have secular things because there are so many non-religious people out there. But, you know, we really felt that there was a hunger among a lot of people, some who want to come every week and some who want to come just once a year, for a community who represents us, you know, a community that really says, you know, we are proudly, not just non-religious, but we are proudly taking a stand for the things that we as non-religious people do believe in. You know, that a community should be defined by the fact that we do believe that, you know, human beings were created over the course of billions of years of evolution, that we created ideas of religion and God.
You've mentioned how many non-believers you estimate there are, something
right.
like a billion
in
the world. And you've noted that they include people like Warren Buffett, Thomas Jefferson,
Absolutely.
Mark Twain, Confucius, mm-hmm. Bill Gates. This is a pretty wide-ranging community.
It really is. It's widely ranging. As I talk about in my book, humanists go back to every cultural background, every identity. We really cross boundaries. And the most important point to me that you'll find discussed or thought about at a humanist center is that, look, we only get this one life. There is no afterlife that we can look to where things are going to be better. So we have to make every minute of our lives, every relationship in our lives count. We really have to be the most loving, the most compassionate, the most responsible and ethical and upstanding people that we can be in this world. It's a daunting proposition, but it's a whole lot better of something to do with others, with a community.
I'm talking with Greg Epstein. He's the founder and chaplain of the new Humanist Student Center at Harvard, which will be a gathering spot for religious non-believers. Let us know what you think about this idea. Do you blanch at it? Are you glad it's there? Do you wish you had had it when you were in college? We're at 1-800-423-8255. It's 1-800-423-TALK. And we have a call from an Alex in Dorchester. Alex, thanks for calling Radio Boston. What do you think of this idea?
I think it's terrific. I've been out of college for 20 years, but I really wish there was something like this when I was in school. I think that morality and religiosity have been tied together too long, and having a place where we can educate, college students and ourselves to discuss the moral questions, what's right and what's wrong for us as human beings, without sort of relegating it to the dark basements of philosophy, where it's practical morality is dynamite. I'm really looking forward to this, and I'm going to try and make it from Dorchester into Cambridge.
So, Greg, you have at least one visitor to your open
house. All right, I'll come on down, Alex.
So Alex raises this important point, which is that many people think morality and religion are very, you can't disconnect them, but you're saying actually you can.
Well, what I'm saying is that for humanists, morality, ethics comes from human needs. And we really have to we have to understand what human beings are in order to talk about what it is to be good. There are people out there in our political life right now who are trying to say that America can't be a good country without turning to God, that people can't be good people without turning to God. And, we in our humanist community have nothing against religious people. We want to work with religious people. But that idea is patently false. The idea that you can't be good without God, it's not even an idea we should be debating. It's a prejudice. We've got to reject it. And this is a symbol of the idea that there is another way.
We have another caller. This is Linda from Waltham. Linda, thanks to you, too, for calling Radio Boston. What do you think of the Humanist Center?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm thrilled that you're talking about this, and I think it is long overdue. I agree with the previous caller. I think that saying that one is an atheist is a scary thing to admit, because people draw all sorts of negative conclusions. And I'm glad you're talking about it. I certainly wish it did exist when I was in college, but I'm glad that you're doing it now, and I certainly applaud you and look forward to listening to the rest of your comments.
Greg Epstein, Linda from Waltham, raises the issue that there truly is a stigma in this country for many people surrounding atheism. I had come across this interesting, actually it might have been in your book. Mm-hmm. It noted that this country has elected a black president, but about half of all Americans say they would not vote for an atheist, even if that person were well qualified to be president. And you in your book mentioned that you had a student who came in and she thought she might want to be part of the humanism group, but she struggled with saying out loud, I don't believe in God. So is that part of what you're trying to do, is destigmatize this?
Absolutely. We are forming a community that is going to be a symbol and one of many symbols that are going to be out there. And there are other humanist communities out there in the country, but this community I hope will draw some attention to the fact that we're just one more group in society right now, but we're a group that really can't be ignored with the numbers that we have, with the important people and the social leaders, et cetera, that are identifying with this philosophy now. It can't and it shouldn't be ignored.
Do you think it's not just ignored but reviled?
Well, I think that there are always those who will try to use the idea of humanists as the enemy to build their own case, to make themselves look bigger and look stronger. But this goes back, way back into our history, that, people that would say, well, I believe in God and you should believe what I believe. And those guys, the non-religious, they're the enemies. So you should listen to me. It's a strategy that I think, we need to take issue with.
Well, I think there's also an idea for many people that the idea of a God is what gives you the idea of moral absolutes or a clear right or wrong. And that if we don't have some higher power watching over us, what motivates us to do well and be good?
Right. But the people that say that we need moral absolutes, you know, are the same people that say that we should absolutely march into war for our God, for our religion, without questioning. Look, I think that, you know, in a case like that, if there's really a need for a country like ours to defend itself, let's say, I think we'll be able to come up with rational, reasonable reasons to do so. We don't need a God to tell us. So I'm a little bit wary of people who are overly certain about their moral principles. I prefer to bring a community together and for us to decide for ourselves what is right and good and encourage each other to do it.
We also have a call from a Marcia in Woburn who has an interesting thought. Hi, Marcia, and thanks for calling Radio Boston.
Hi, Sasha. I'm glad to have you take my call. I'm 70. I was born and brought up Catholic. I do not believe in formal religion. Not so sure I don't believe in God. However, I want to know if there's room for people like me in that sort of community. And it sounds more like it's geared for young people, so is there room for old people?
Absolutely. I would absolutely welcome you down. And like I said, there are going to be a range of programs in this new center. So some programs, for example, on Thursdays and Fridays will be particularly devoted to students. But on the weekends and the first Tuesday of every month, we're going to have programs that are devoted to the entire community, a range of ages, a range of cultural backgrounds. There's no secret handshake that you need to know in order to be part of a humanist community. There's no secret doctrine. You know, this is just a group of people who have a range of beliefs, and we're building a community for one another.
We also have a web comment from WBUR.org/Boston. This is Ryan, and he says, is it not enough to just be? Must we segregate and further categorize people? Is this not one of the major and fundamental issues with organized religion? So are you really just creating another organized religion of sorts?
No, humanism is not a religion. And absolutely people should just be. But that being said, I think that at certain times in our lives, all of us do gravitate towards a community of people. We like and we want, and there's nothing wrong with seeking other like-minded people for some support. This is not about a secular pope of any kind coming and telling you, this is what you have to do, this is where you have to be, this is where you have to show up. No, nobody would want that. I would never want that. But this is about a group of people who have common values coming together for one another.
So it's basically a gathering spot for believers, even if they're non-believers.
Absolutely.
Greg Epstein, the humanist chaplain and founder of the new Humanist Student Center at Harvard, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. Thanks for listening today and tune in tomorrow. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. We'll be back again tomorrow for Radio Boston.